Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for joining us. I remember doing this. I don't remember what it was for, but same setup, Zoom in the office for a different event. I think it was a audit release. And some folks had concerns about the quality. If you've got concerns about the quality, if it's not usable for you on your end, just let Andrew know as soon as possible, and we can make arrangements here to do something else if necessary. Let's see here. Share screen. PowerPoint slideshow. And here we go. So you should be able to see me, I'm hoping. And you should be able to see the PowerPoint slideshow as well. I hope you can see me. If you can't, that's fine. I'll just narrate the slideshow. But this is the annual State Auditor, State of Iowa Budget Review. I want to start here with just reminding folks about our new PI program. Very straightforward, public innovations and efficiencies. This is one of the reasons I was excited to run for State Auditor. The office has the ability to promote efficiency in all of its work, and we are now doing that for every entity across the state. It's a new program to pinch taxpayer pennies. Our pie chart collects very practical money-saving ideas and then asks public entities to tell us which ones they use. We then use their feedback and their answers to have a pie contest where we can actually demonstrate and reward those local public servants that are doing the best job of pinching pennies. And then finally, we are collecting pie recipes. So if someone is a local leader in your area who has come up with a good idea that has saved money, we would love to hear about it and add it to the pie chart so that way it can get spread all across the state of Iowa. Currently, this is the first year of the program, 2020 here. We have a response from an entity in 75 or maybe more of Iowa's 99 counties. We would love to increase that number. So you can urge your local leaders, whether that's your mayor, your city council, or your board of supervisors, to get theirs submitted by December 31st, 2020. We'd love to have them. And here's the website you can go to for more information. To go on to the state budget conversation, there's four things we want to talk about today. I'm going to touch briefly on pensions. We're then going to talk about sound budgeting principles, which are the same as I sit in this chair as they were when my predecessors sat here. And then we're going to get a look at a review of the numbers and budget issues. Iowa's net pension liability is stable. As you can see from the chart over the last 5 years, it has dipped and it has climbed, but it is remaining stable. For those who are a little unfamiliar, net pension liability, if you look at that number and you see it's hovering in the mid-80s, what that actually means is that if no one were to pay into IPERS as of tomorrow, but people were to continue to draw, there would be enough money there to fund a little over 80%. So that doesn't mean that in the long run we have a shortfall. It's just a measurement. It's an easy calculation that you can use to actually compare the health between different years. So it shows you the health of the pension liability over time as opposed to a snapshot. As you can see there, it's stable. And we're doing better, I should add, than a lot of other states. Sound budgeting principles, I want to give you a reminder of these. We want to avoid the use of one-time resources for ongoing expenses. We want to avoid multi-year accelerating commitments. We want to avoid new automatic or standing appropriations, meaning things that are going to come up and be there every year that there isn't any discretion for. We want to accurately determine revenue and expenses. We want to align expenses and revenue in the same fiscal year. We want to avoid shifting program funding to property taxes or fees. And then finally, we want to avoid diversion of funds statutorily authorized for a specific objective, other purposes. I do want to talk about a handful of budgeting principle violations that we have seen, because that is what we do in this presentation every year. Avoid the use of one-time resources for ongoing expenses. Problem here is that we had the governor put nearly $500,000 from the CARES Act funds, which are for pandemic relief, to cover her personal staff salaries, which are not presumed to qualify as an appropriate use for the CARES Act. That's $500,000 that was simply an ongoing expense for her staff that works in her office. And that CARES Act money is a one-time money. It was given by the federal government. It was given to respond to the pandemic, and using it for that does violate that budget principle. We want to align expenses and revenue in the same fiscal year. I talked about this last year. It's a little bit different this year, but it still applies. We need to stop doing Medicaid supplemental funding. Since privatization, every year we have had to go back and do supplemental funding for Medicaid. And every year, the MCOs, the managed care organizations that run Medicaid in Iowa now, have come back to say they need more money. We have yet to have a year where they come back and say they need less or that they are doing just fine. Now, this year, because of the pandemic, because of the CARES Act, because of adjustments that were made to Medicaid due to the pandemic at the federal level, it's not really an issue this year, but that doesn't mean that the problem is fixed. It's going to come back next year or the year after once we're through this pandemic. Knock on wood, that'll be next year. So again, I want to point this out again because it's still an issue even if we have a temporary hiatus from it. We want to avoid shifting program funding to property taxes or fees. Again, this is another point I made last year, but we do not want to end the backfill from the commercial property tax cut. That was something that was negotiated a part of that deal, and maintaining that is not only important for credibility and integrity, but also important for sound budgeting principles. And then we want to avoid diversion of funds that are statutorily authorized for a specific objective to other purposes. Specifically here, we'd be talking about the governor putting $21 million of CARES Act fund into Workday. That violates this principle. This is pretty straightforward. CARES Act money is used to mitigate the pandemic, to cover expenses that are actually going towards assisting with recovering from the pandemic. Workday is not one of them. And putting that money there is a violation of the law and the expected use. There's a lot going on with the CARES Act. There's a lot of different dollars that came in. There's a lot of different places they're expected to go. But my hope is that this puts the governor's office on notice to correct any other issues that are present going forward. To move on to the projected condition of the general fund budget, here in three columns, you can see the actual figures from fiscal year 19. On the leftmost column, the actual figures from fiscal year 20 in the middle, and then are estimated for fiscal year 21 on the right. We are now in fiscal year 21. So as you can see, we ended our last fiscal year 20 this summer with a surplus of $305 million. And we're estimating not quite halfway through the fiscal year here that we're gonna end this fiscal year next summer with a surplus of $443.4 million. So we're looking, you know, a ballpark about an $8 billion budget for the state of Iowa every single year. In terms of where that comes from, vast majority, not the vast majority, but the vast plurality, the biggest chunk of it is from personal income tax. You can then see that sales use tax makes up the next biggest chunk. And then about an eighth of the whole budget comes from corporate income tax, other taxes, and other receipts. So again, to summarize our fiscal year 21 budget, what we are looking at is that $443 million surplus. But then what's really important here that I want to point out is we need to add in where we ended up this year in terms of our reserves. Our cash reserve fund is sitting with $587 million in it right now. And our economic emergency fund is sitting with $195 million in it right now. So that means that come this summer, our total estimated fiscal year 21 surplus, all inclusive of emergency funds, would be $1.2 billion with a B dollars. Now, $1.2 billion in your surplus doesn't mean that there aren't challenges that we need to look out for. There are. And I want to talk about three of them. One, I just want to give a quick reminder on because I spoke about it with a little bit more depth last year. The 2017 federal tax changes gave our state budget a very massive but also temporary boost. Most, if not all, of our surplus for the last 2 years was because of that federal tax change, not because of management changes here in Iowa. That's going to disappear in 2025, and it's going to take much of our surplus with it when it disappears in 2025. So our state leaders here, they need to be mindful of that. We should not be making long-term changes if we want to maintain a responsible budget in the long term. Again, the state budget is affected by the federal budget. Those changes they made in 17 helped the state budget, but it will go away. We are just about halfway through that. And so we want to make sure that we're maintaining responsible budgeting to be prepared for that day in 2025. And then I also want to talk about tax credits briefly, and then spend a little bit more time on what's been consuming our year, beating the pandemic, by protecting lives and livelihoods. We need to control and measure tax credits. This, again, is also a drum I beat last year. I'll beat this drum again this year. In the last 14 fiscal years, we have more than doubled the number of tax credits coming out of our general fund. That is a massive, massive increase. And $440 million is not a small chunk of change. Despite that, even 4 years ago, the Tax Foundation looked through our own Department of Revenue studies, and they said that our own Department of Revenue studies cast doubt on the ability of many of Iowa's tax incentives to yield the intended economic results. So we are shoveling hundreds of millions of dollars out the door in tax credits every year, but we're not really sure that we're actually getting what we think we're getting in return. We need to do a better job with that. We echoed that in our office with an audit that we issued this year in 2020. We audited a new jobs training program, and we found that it couldn't actually prove it was creating new jobs. We ought to be doing that. We ought to be making sure that whatever we're investing in is getting returns for taxpayers. This is our rainiest day. It's been quite a year. Looking forward to it being over. Looking forward to the pandemic being done. Everybody, from the top to the bottom, we've all had to face a lot of difficult decisions this year. Restaurants and bars lose $1.4 billion. 88% are projecting an additional decline over the next 3 months still. We're not out of the woods yet. 1,000 are expected to close. This means a lot to small towns. I grew up in Northeast Iowa, and I remember the feeling of a new business opening up. I remember the feeling of a business closing down. There are a lot of towns around Iowa, Decorah size or smaller, where you really only have maybe one or two restaurants, places where people can gather. And they do really give a sense of community to those places where people want to live and they want to be. It's not easy to simply replace them once they're gone. 1 in 9 Iowans work in small businesses. Additional closures would be a major job killer across the state of Iowa. 70% of the economy is consumer-based demand, meaning just people buying things. And many people right now are hurting across our state. Iowa's hospitals have lost $443 million despite federal aid this year. That's actually on top of the well-documented financial hits that they have taken from Medicaid privatization. Hospitals around the state of Iowa are in danger of closing. So on our rainiest day, let's not hoard the umbrellas. We have umbrellas accessible. We've got a lot of them. State government is estimated to be sitting on over $1 billion by June, but we have $700 million right now. There's a lot of room to protect lives and livelihoods through increasing testing, providing small business relief grants, income assistance, while we can still be fiscally responsible. Targeted spending now is the best investment towards ending the pandemic and having a normal to return to. When I say having a normal to return to, I'm talking about having that restaurant still be there when this pandemic is over in that small town. Having your neighbor's livelihood, their business, still be something that they can continue doing when this pandemic is over. And targeted spending is the most effective way right now to make sure that we can have that normalcy to return to, rather than coming back to an Iowa when we're outside of this pandemic that feels like it's been gutted. We have $290 million in our cash reserve fund that can be spent by the legislature for non-recurring emergency expenses. That would be something like this. That much can be spent because it wouldn't get below a certain percentage where the law draws a line, 3.75% of the annual adjusted revenue. But if 3/5 of the legislature supports it, all $587 million in the cash reserve fund can be spent. Legally spending that amount would still leave the state government with hundreds of millions of dollars in a surplus. Every day of delay that this is not happening hurts Iowa's health, hurts Iowa's jobs, hurts Iowa's economies. We could have done this months ago through a special session. We could do it today through a special session. Every day of delay is another day of pain for Iowans around the state. This money, this belongs to Iowans, and it should be in their hands to help survive this pandemic, not sitting in state government's accounts. We need to put people first. I got an email less than 24 hours ago from someone named Chris, who described to me their life's work, really. Said they'd started their small business when they were 13 years old, and that they are soon going to lose everything, but that extra money could go to the tiny people like me. State government needs to communicate to Iowans that there are no tiny people. We might talk about the little guy, but at the end of the day, every Iowan is valued. Every person who is here is a part of our community, and we need to be supporting them. There are so many people who are struggling through this pandemic in so much pain. Earlier this year, I started what we called Iowans Helping Iowans. It was right at the very start of the pandemic. It was sort of before there was a CARES Act, before there was anything going on, and we opened up an account. We just did it through Venmo and PayPal, where people could send in money to donate to needy Iowans, people who needed it the most. And then what we did was we said certain qualifying people, this was just in my personal capacity, frontline workers, people who were unemployed, first responders, could submit recent expenses from small businesses, restaurants that were having a hard time too because of lower patronage, and we'd refund their meals. So it gave people who were struggling a way to go out and support businesses that were struggling, all organized through a couple of online accounts and Iowans Who Care. And the reason that we did that then was because we gave government a moment to catch up, and because we could do this much, right? This much for people in that short amount of time. Even if we couldn't do it for everybody, we could do it for some. And it was something that we could do very quickly before the CARES Act was getting money out the door, before we saw massive movement. And the assumption was, when we closed it down, that, well, our system now, our leadership, the way we make decisions as a whole, as a people, the machinery is moving now. So it was there for the beginning. But the idea that relief is up to the federal government and not the state government, that's opinion. That's not a fact. I just went through hundreds of millions of dollars that are sitting in state accounts right now, while the people who put that money there are suffering. The governor could have called for a special session of the legislature any day to get those funds out to Iowans. Still can today. I think that is a good idea. And I'm sorry, but I have to ask, the idea that the federal government, we should wait on them, who with the ability and also the responsibility to relieve suffering is going to wait for Washington, D.C. to do it instead? The idea that there isn't enough for everyone, that's a rejection of fiscal, social, and personal responsibility. Imagine a sea captain on a sinking ship who says, sorry, folks, these life vests are going to go down with the ship because there's just not enough for everyone. Imagine a combat leader who says, no, I don't want you to evacuate half of my troops because that would just leave the other half here. We are better than this. Government should be protecting the public, especially during a crisis. And doing so leaves us in better fiscal shape in the long run. The people who need those funds the most are the people who, when they get them, will go out there and spend them for the expenses that they have right now. That means there's more money circulating in our economy. It helps our economy be in better condition to get through this pandemic and get through it so that we have a normal to return to. Thank you very much. I'm happy to take questions.
Rob, will you pass me back the host?
I will try, Andrew. I think I know how to do that. There you go.
Okay, awesome. If folks have questions, if you could just use the raise your hand function, and then I will call on you. Looks like first we have David Pitt. So go ahead and lower your hand and you can go.
Yeah, hi, Rob. Can you hear me okay? Yeah, good.
Yes, I can.
My question is just to get at the idea that you think they should spend some of the money now to get us through the pandemic. But earlier, it seems like a little bit of a contradiction to what you said earlier, in that we need to keep some money in reserve because we don't want to drain those funds because this federal benefit is going to go away at some point. So, I mean, there must be kind of a fine line between, you know, doing what we do now and not depleting those accounts for when we might need them. Thanks.
And that's where that fine line is. It's actually not that fine, it's relatively wide. What we're talking about in terms of those federal impacts range from, depending on which fiscal year you're looking at and how fully that federal change has been incorporated, anywhere from 100 to maybe $300 million in difference. And so you could take that entire $597 million that's sitting in the cash reserve account, put it all into the hands of Iowans right now with a 3/5 vote from the legislature, and you'd still have enough where going forward over the next 4 years here, you'd have a good chunk sitting there waiting for that change to disappear. So essentially, there's enough money that Iowans have paid into state accounts right now that's sitting there, that it's not hard to balance those two things. They can be pretty easily balanced.
Rob, next we're gonna go to Brianne from the Register.
Hi, Brianne.
Hey, how are you doing? Can you hear me okay?
I can, yeah, thanks.
So two questions. The first is, if the legislature were to spend, you know, the $290 million that you mentioned, or the $587 million, can you give us an idea of roughly how long it would take to replenish those reserve accounts?
Our budget figures going forward look good. Our projections look good in terms of our annual surpluses, according to the Legislative Services Agency. But at the end of the day, the point is that money belongs to Iowans, and having a budget surplus is good. But at a certain point, you're just hoarding Iowans' money away from Iowans. You want to be responsible, but you want to also want to have respect for the people that actually make this state government work, pay the taxes. And to have an amount in there that's that excessive doesn't reflect the idea that you know what to do with the money that's coming in. And so at the end of the day, you could spend that $600. You would still have enough in the emergency accounts and the leftover funds altogether to, in 2025, without rebuilding it at all, you would still have the cushion that you need to get through that federal change. Is that answer clear?
A little bit. And can I ask one other question?
Let me be more clear. You can spend that $600 million, not replace it, and still have enough money sitting there that if you keep that money there 5 years from now, you're going to be just fine with that federal change.
Got it. Secondly, I wanted to ask, you know, Republicans are looking at the surplus and the ending balance, and a lot of them are advocating for tax cuts. You know, they're kind of making the same argument that this doesn't belong in state bank accounts. It belongs back in the pocketbooks of Iowans. Why do you believe, or do you believe that that's a worse approach than what you're advocating here?
In terms of the economics of it, it's pretty clear. Almost any tax cut would go later on, not right now, to the people who need it less, not the people who need it more. At the end of the day, if we want to get through this pandemic and again have our social fabric intact, have those restaurants that we like to go to be there, have those small businesses that define our communities be a part of our communities, we need to get the money out faster than that, and it needs to be targeted. as opposed to a broad-based approach where we're just putting hands, putting more money in the hands of people for whom the pandemic has been an inconvenience, but not a life-threatening experience.
Thank you.
I don't see anyone else with their hand up. So if we are done with questions, then I think we can go ahead and wrap this up. I know some other people have asked. So this was Facebook live streamed on facebook.com/RobSandIA. You can find the full video of everything there. It'll, once the live ends, the full video will remain up there. If you need anything else from Rob or me, just shoot me over an email. Other than that, thank you everyone for coming.
Thanks, everyone.